The Cosmo with Scott De Butler on RTE Pulse in association with Gaystar News. For all your LGBTI news, gaystarnews.com.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott De Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, as you may know, we're currently in the middle of the 11th International Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. It is one of the biggest and definitely one of the best gay theatre festivals in the world, and we're very proud to have it in our capital city. One of the plays that is taking place this week, in the second week of the festival, is Lesbian Style. It's one of the plays that is part of the Northern Irish contingent of the programme this year. It's taking place until this Saturday, the 17th of May, in the Players Theatre in Trinity College. And I'm delighted to have the writer of Lesbian Style, Hilary McCullum, on the phone with me at the moment. Hilary, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thanks, it's nice to speak to you.
Same with yourself. So, first of all, congratulations on this brilliant performance. Tell us what it is about.
Really, it's a bit of a lesbian vagina monologues. It weaves together the stories, real-life stories, either from my own life or interviews that I did with women, of the lives of women who love women, the highs and the lows.
And how long, in that case, did it take to put together, if it was all real-life accounts? And obviously, there's more than just one person involved in the cast. How long did it take to put together?
I started writing it in 2012. I hadn't written a play before. I hadn't even really thought about writing a play. I was much more focused on writing fiction.
Right.
And then when I moved back to Ireland, moved back in 2010, 2012, I got an email advertising a theatre lab run by Sole Purpose Productions. And I thought, oh, I could give that a go. And what I decided to write was a lesbian vagina monologue. So I started then, and then wrote it over the next 18 months, on and off. So I had periods where I'd write lots, and then periods where I'd put it away again. That's been the process for writing it.
Excellent. And, you know, the fact that you're saying that this is a lesbian version, as you said, of, or at least an adaptation in some ways, of vagina monologues, do you think that you know, lesbian characters or maybe even lesbian stories aren't really portrayed as frequently in mainstream media or even theatre as, say, for example, gay men or indeed anyone else?
No, I think that's very true. I think in mainstream culture, but also in the theatre, there's much more of a tradition of portraying the stories of gay men, though even the stories of gay men are still more marginalised than I think they should be. But even more so, lesbian stories, I think, are largely invisible. If you go back to Queen Victoria, who kind of believed that it wasn't worth criminalising lesbianism because she couldn't see what they'd be doing anyway. You know, you had that whole sense of lesbian identity being kind of written out of the picture.
Yeah. But it's interesting then what effect that has on, you know, the lesbian part or contingent of, if you want to call it, a larger LGBT culture, the fact that even within that, you know, there's almost a level of dismissal. But obviously, you know, this is what Lesbian Style aims to achieve, I assume. So can you give us, you know, for those who are interested in going along to see the play, can you give us a rough taste of what type of topics maybe or what type of stories people will be coming across? Without giving away too much.
It covers all sorts, but I mean, where it opens with the question, what do they do in bed? That's very much where it starts. And actually, we had a 10-minute version of it came down for National Coming Out Day and was performed at Outhouse in October.
Brilliant.
And I had some gay men coming up to me afterwards feeling like it had been an education for them.
A bit of a lecture.
Well, no, I think they were more intrigued and fascinated, actually, in some ways. But actually, also, we had a preview performance last week in Derry, and I had some gay men come up to me who were also actually a sense of how much it chimed with their own stories, that sense of, are they still part of their family or not? What's the family reaction going to be? And also that sense of how fantastic it is falling in love, but also that heartbreak of splitting up, and then how you might then get the family pressure again of, oh, well, now you've got over him. You know, can you not get yourself married to a woman, and likewise for lesbians, now you've got over her, or can you not find yourself a nice man? So I think it was interesting, that sense both of how lesbians and gay men's stories chime, but also that sense of difference. So yeah, it was good to get a reaction from the gay men that came as well.
And I think that's an interesting aspect to it as well, because I think sometimes when you come across these type of productions, especially in something like the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival, you could be forgiven for thinking that, you know, a play like say that has an all male cast might only appeal to men, and similarly that a play similar to lesbian style with an all female cast would only appeal to women. But that's not going to be the case at all. There's something that everyone can learn, whether it's, you know, male, female, gay, straight, that there really is something for everyone in these type of productions.
Yeah, and in fact, a straight friend who went to see it in Derry came up to me. She said actually what she felt very much was actually these are universal stories. They're stories about love and loss and the things that make us, you know, happy to get up in the morning, and things that make us kind of hardly able to face the day. And many of those things are universal. So I think there is a sense of universality. And so I guess for me, it's about trying to kind of get across that lesbian lives are in many ways the same as other people's lives, but that lens is slightly different, and wanting to try and tell those stories through the lens of lesbian experience.
Very well said. Okay, well, listen, for anyone who is interested in going along to this, it is starting off tonight, but as we're speaking, there's only a few minutes before it actually starts off. So if people want to go and see it, it's running between tonight, Wednesday, and Saturday in the Players Theatre in Trinity College. Tickets are normally €15, but we have a brilliant competition for two tickets to give away on tonight's show. If you want to get your hands on those pair of tickets, all you have to do is answer this very simple question. Where is the Players Theatre? Is it in Trinity College, is it in the RDS, or is it in UCD? Get your answer in with your name and your contact details to thecosmo@rte.ie, or you can send us a tweet as well, and that is @RTEcosmo. In the meantime, Hilary, if anyone wants to find out more information, I presume they can go along to gaytheatre.ie, but is there any site specifically for you guys?
Yes, also you can go to gaytheatre.io, and we've also got a Facebook page up. If you just put in lesbian style, you should be able to find us.
Excellent. All right, well, listen, in the meantime, best of luck with the run while you're in the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. Hilary McCollum, writer of Lesbian Style, thanks very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, Channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Many thanks to Afric there. Especially for Steve listening in Nottinghamshire, this is kicking us off tonight. Sigmed, Nobody to Love.
I know you're tired of loving with nobody to love. Nobody. Just grab somebody. Don't leave it this party with nobody to love. Nobody.
What a brilliant tune kicking us off tonight. Sigma and Nobody to Love here on the Cosmo on RT Pulse. Especially for Stephen listening in Nottinghamshire at the moment, online at rte.ie/pulse. We're also on UPC channel 943 and on your very own digital radio.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You are listening to RTE's show for the LGBT community here on RTE Pulse. If you want to get in touch with me between tonight, or between now, I should say, and 11 o'clock, you can do so by emailing thecosmo@rte.ie. If you're on Twitter, it's at Scott the Butler or at RTE Cosmo. And as well as that, if you're on Facebook, it's facebook.com/RTE Cosmo. Now, tonight's show is going to take us from Dublin via Derry over to New York as well. As you may know, it is the at the moment we are in the middle of the 11th International Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. We're in its second week and we'll be finding out about one of the plays that started off tonight and running until Saturday. It's called Lesbian Style and it's taking place in the Players Theatre at Trinity College. It's going to be a really interesting piece and it's one of the few productions from Northern Ireland in this year's festival, so it's going to be quite interesting, and we'll have two tickets to give away to that later on in the show as well. As well as that, we are finding out from New York about loads of celebrities who have decided to auction off their disposable cameras, their used disposable cameras for charity, and that's especially for Mix NYC, New York's longest running LGBT film festival. So loads to chat about, and of course if you want to get a song on, just say hello. You can easily get in touch, like I said, thecosmo@rte.ie or at Scott the Butler. Right, I'm going to continue on with the music though. This is brand new, Duck Sauce, NRG. See what you think of it. You're listening to RT Pulse.
With Scott the Butler, radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Does he tell you he loves you when you least expect it? Does he flood in your heart when he kisses your neck? No scientist or biology, it's obvious when he's holding me. It's only natural that I'm so affected.
Gotta admit, they're a bit of a guilty pleasure. Little Mix and DNA here on The Cosmo.
It's RTE Pulse.
You are listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, live here on RTE Pulse. It's time to head over to London to get our 60-second LGBT news update with thanks to Pink 60 News.
Hello, I'm Colin Fallison, and here are the international LGBT news headlines from Pink 60. A 17-year-old lesbian was raped after attending Limpopo Pride in South Africa on Saturday. The schoolgirl reported the rape and police arrested her attacker shortly after, according to Cindy Molefe of Proudly Out. A US federal judge has struck down Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage after four couples took legal action against the state. Judge Candy Dale said these laws do not withstand any applicable level of constitutional scrutiny. The International Lesbian and Gay Association has placed the UK at the top of this year's Rainbow Europe list for the third year in a row. ILGA Europe scores LGBT rights in each country with a percentage rating. Anti-gay Russians are retaliating over Conchita Wurst's win at Eurovision on Saturday. The government says they may pull out of the annual competition entirely, while some men are shaving off their beards in protest. And finally, the stars turned out in force last night for the New York premiere of Larry Kramer's The Normal Heart. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie joined cast members to pay homage to the writer of the classic AIDS-era story. But that's all from us at Pink 60 for today. Join us again tomorrow.
Many thanks to Colin Fileson there for our Pink 60 news. And remember, if you want to get daily updates, visit pink60news.com.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC. Channel 943. And this is RTE Pulse.
Coming up next on tonight's show, we're going to be chatting about the lesbian style show taking place as part of the Dublin International Gay Theatre Festival. But first, this is a brand new from Avicii, Addicted to You.
I don't know just how it happened. I let down my guard. Swore I'd never fall in love again. Caught me by surprise. Wasn't looking where I was going. I fell into your eyes. You came into my to you.
On Fairview and on UPC, Channel 943. And this is
RTE Pulse. RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, as you may know, we're currently in the middle of the 11th International Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. It is one of the biggest and definitely one of the best gay theatre festivals in the world, and we're very proud to have it in our capital city. One of the plays that is taking place this week, in the second week of the festival, is Lesbian Style. It's one of the place that is part of the Northern Irish contingent of the programme this year. It's taking place until this Saturday, the 17th of May, in the Players Theatre in Trinity College. And I'm delighted to have the writer of Lesbian Style, Hilary McCollum, on the phone with me at the moment. Hilary, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thanks, it's nice to speak to you.
Same with yourself. So, first of all, congratulations on this brilliant performance. Tell us what it is about.
Really, it's a bit of a lesbian vagina monologues. It weaves together the stories, real life stories, either from my own life or interviews that I did with women, of the lives of women who love women, the highs and the lows.
And how long, in that case, did it take to put together? If it was all real life accounts, and obviously there's more than just one person involved in the cast, how long did it take to put together?
I started writing it in 2012. I hadn't written a play before. I hadn't even really thought about writing a play. I was much more focused on writing fiction.
Right.
And then when I moved back to Ireland, way back in 2010. 2012, I got an email advertising a theatre lab run right. by Sole Purpose Productions. And I thought, oh, I could give that a go. what I decided to write was a lesbian vagina monologue. So I started then and then wrote it over the next 18 months, on and off. So I had periods where I'd write lots and then periods where I'd put it away again. That's been the process for writing it.
Excellent. And, you know, the fact that you're saying that this is a lesbian version, as you said, of, or at least an adaptation in some ways, of vagina monologues, do you think that you know, lesbian characters or maybe even lesbian stories aren't really portrayed as frequently in mainstream media or even theatre as, say, for example, gay men or indeed anyone else?
No, I think that's very true. I think in mainstream culture, but also in the theatre, there's much more of a tradition of portraying the stories of gay men, even the stories of gay men are still more marginalised than I think they should be, but even more so lesbian stories, I think, are largely invisible. If you go back to Queen Victoria, who kind of believed that it wasn't worth criminalising lesbianism because she couldn't see what they'd be doing anyway. You know, you had that whole sense of lesbian identity being kind of written out of the picture.
Yeah. But it's interesting then what effect that has on, you know, the lesbian part or contingent of, if you want to call it, a larger LGBT culture, the fact that even within that, you know, there's almost a level of dismissal. But obviously, you know, this is what lesbian style aims to achieve, I assume. So can you give us, you know, for those who are interested in going along to see the play, can you give us a rough taste of what type of topics maybe or what type of stories people will be coming across? Without giving away too much.
It covers all sorts, but I mean, where it opens with the question, what do they do in bed? That's very much where it starts. And actually, we had a 10-minute version of it came down for National Coming Out Day and was performed at Outhouse in October.
Brilliant.
And I had some gay men coming up to me afterwards feeling like it had been an education for them.
A bit of a lecture.
Well, no, I think they were more intrigued and fascinated, actually, in some ways. But actually, also, we had a preview performance last week in Derry, and I had some gay men come up to me who were also actually a sense of how much it chimed with their own stories, that sense of, are they still part of their family or not? What's the family reaction going to be? And also that sense of how fantastic it is falling in love, but also that heartbreak of splitting up and then how you might then get the family pressure again of, oh, well, now you've got over him. You know, can you not get yourself married to a woman, and likewise for lesbians, now you've got over her, or can you not find yourself a nice man? So I think it was interesting, that sense both of how lesbians and gay men's stories chime, but also that sense of difference. So yeah, it was good to get a reaction from the gay men that came as well.
And I think that's an interesting aspect to it as well, because I think sometimes when you come across these type of productions, especially in something like the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival, you could be forgiven for thinking that, you know, a play like that has an all-male cast might only appeal to men, and similarly that a play similar to lesbian style with an all-female cast would only appeal to women. But that's not going to be the case at all. There's something that everyone can learn, whether it's, you know, male, female, gay, straight, that there really is something for everyone in these type of productions.
Yeah, and in fact, a straight friend who went to see it in Derry came up to me, and she said actually what she felt very much was actually these are universal stories. They're stories about love and loss and the things that make us, you know, happy to get up in the morning, and things that make us kind of hardly able to face the day. And many of those things are universal. So I think there is a sense of universality. And so I guess for me, it's about trying to kind of get across that lesbian lives are in many ways the same as other people's lives, but that lens is slightly different, and wanting to try and tell those stories through the lens of lesbian experience.
Very well said. Okay, well, listen, for anyone who is interested in going along to this, it is starting off tonight, but as we're speaking, there's only a few minutes before it actually starts off. So if people want to go and see it, it's running between tonight, Wednesday, and Saturday in the Players Theatre in Trinity College. Tickets are normally €15, but we have a brilliant competition for two tickets to give away on tonight's show. If you want to get your hands on those pair of tickets, well, then all you have to do is answer this very simple question. Where is the Players Theatre? Is it in Trinity College? Is it in the RDS? Or is it in UCD? Get your answer in with your name and your contact details to thecosmo@rte.ie, or you can send us a tweet as well, and that is @RTE Cosmo. In the meantime, Hilary, if anyone wants to find out more information, I presume they can go along to gaytheatre.ie, but is there any site specifically for you guys?
Yes, also you can go to gaytheatre.io, and we've also got a Facebook page up. If you just put in Lesbian Style, you should be able to find us.
Excellent. All right, well, listen, in the meantime, best of luck with the run while you're in the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. Hilary McCollum, writer of Lesbian Style, thanks very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, Channel 943. This is RTE Pulse.
Why can't this moment last forever, ma? Tonight eternity's an open door. No, don't ever stop doing the things you do. Don't go, and every breath I take I'm breathing.
I don't care how many times I play that track, I'm not going to get tired of it. You, Loreen, I was going to go Lolo for some reason, and Euphoria here on The Cosmo on RTE Pulse, especially for Michelle listening in online.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, Channel 943. This is RTE Pulse.
I'm not going to lie, we are actually literally dancing around the studio. If you go on to the Facebook page, facebook.com/RTE Cosmo, maybe not by the end of tonight, but definitely by tomorrow, you might see a video of myself and co-producer Jen dancing around the studio like a mad joke. I'm not going to lie, if you do watch it, all your amazing ideas about me being very, very cool will completely go out the window if they haven't already.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, moving over from Ireland over to the States, Mix NYC, the organisation behind New York's longest-running LGBTQ film festival, are currently auctioning off disposable cameras for charity of top celebs, including James Franco, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and many more. The current top seller is Randy Harrison, or at least it's the camera belonging to Randy Harrison, of the American Queer as Folk fame. That is currently going for just over $1,100. To tell me a bit more about it, I have the executive director of Mix NYC, Stephen Kent Jusick, and he's on the phone with me at the moment from New York. Stephen, you're very welcome along.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me.
No worries. So tell us a bit more about this initiative. It sounds like a really, really novel idea to get a few bob for charity, but where did the idea come about? You're off.
So a colleague of mine, Sue Burgess, who is also the festival co-director, and I were thinking about ideas, and she came up with it. It seemed like a good idea for us because as an organization interested in film, it allowed us to do something that was a little bit film-related without asking people to make films for us. You know, the analog aspect of disposable cameras harkens back to the earliest way, you know, formats of photography and film, and it just seemed like a really great way to do something.
Yeah, it's really great and it's really novel as well. I have to admit, I love the idea behind it. But obviously, it must have been such a big effort to get such big names as well. James Franco, as I said, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, many, many more. How did that come about that you were able to get such big names to take part?
Well, you know, each one has a different pathway to them. You know, so I'm friends with John Cameron Mitchell, whose film Short Bus was, you know, I have a role in and partly based on things in my life. So, you know, John was a big help in connecting us to people. Miss Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he was actually at dinner with a friend of mine, and, you know, I just happened to be at the restaurant, and we struck up a conversation, and I asked him if he'd be interested.
That is brilliant. You know what, I love the fact that this has such a small world type of quality to it. I think that's brilliant. Obviously, for people that are going to be interested in getting these disposable cameras that have been owned and used by all these celebrities, people will obviously be bidding for charity. But where is the fund, or where are the funds going to be going towards?
Well, you know, we're actually a small nonprofit here in New York City, and we have a variety of initiatives. The most famous one is our annual Queer Experimental Film Festival, which is now in its 27th edition.
Brilliant.
So the funds will be used for that, but we also have a long-running oral history project about AIDS that has been going on, and that's been organized by Jim Hubbard and Sarah Shulman, who actually founded the festival in 1987 and now work on this aspect of the organization. We also do community screenings around the city for free and do workshops and provide fiscal sponsorship services to selected filmmakers, including David France, who made the Academy Award-nominated How to Survive a Plague last year.
Brilliant. All right, okay, so obviously this is going towards some very, very worthy causes as well. And it seems that you're getting a great reaction already. As I was saying earlier, Randy Harrison, who was in the American version of Queer as Folk, that's currently going for $1,100. When is the end of the bidding process for these cameras? Or is it a case of, you know, it depends on camera by camera?
Well, most of them are ending May 22nd, around the West Coast time, but some of them have been added a little bit later because they came in. We were receiving this a little bit later, so they'll be ending, you know, mostly around Wednesday, but a few days later for some of them. So each one has a finish time listed on the actual eBay auction for each item.
Okay.
But most of them are going to be done on the 22nd.
Okay, excellent. So for most of the cases, people listening in, if they've only just found out about it, they have roughly a week. And then depending on the case, they might have a bit more time. If people want to find out more, they can go along to mixnyc.org and they can follow the links towards the auction. This is a fantastic idea. Stephen, I have to admit, I'm really, really impressed with this. And keep us posted and let us know how you get on. But in the meantime, if you want to find out more information, mixnyc.org is where to go. Stephen, thank you very, very much for talking to us.
No problem. Thank you so much, Scott.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, Channel 943. This is RTE.